I wonder if you have a goal. This man had a goal. Now, if you're wondering, who is that guy? Maybe this next picture will help you. This is Richard Williams, the father of Venus and Serena Williams. Between them, the Williams sisters have 47 Grand Slam titles and 5 Olympic gold medals. And you could say that that success is down to their dad's goal. He said when they were young that they would become world-class tennis players. He believed that they could win major tournaments. And his goal shaped everything he did. Some of you may have an idea of the lengths that he went to if you've seen the biopic about him called King Richard. He would take Venus and Serena to some local courts to train, come rain or shine. He went after every professional coach he could think of and hounded them until one of them would coach them for free. In everything he did, he never wavered because of his goal. His eyes were on the prize, and he didn't give up or falter. And look at the results. What is your goal? What are you aiming for? What drives you and motivates you day by day? In sport, we set goals all the time. We might have a season goal, but then that's broken down into shorter term targets to meet. And those targets are broken down further each training session. And each moment you're on the pitch or the court, every time you step onto the track or clip your feet into the pedals, you're looking to your goal. And when we achieve our goals, we experience joy. Where we set our goal will impact everything. And so as we come to the end of a week at Sports Plus, we're going to take a few moments to think about where we set our goal as we go home. What's going to drive us and motivate us as we return to our clubs and teams, our homes and schools? But even more importantly, we're going to think about what we need to keep on track. What do we need to stay focused and to not give up? So let's dive in. In John chapter 15, Jesus gives us a goal to live for. We've heard all week that Jesus makes some bold claims about his identity. And now in these few verses that we've just read, Jesus makes another claim. He says, "I am the vine." Of all Jesus' descriptions about himself, this might be the most unusual. But when we think about the goal and purpose of a vine, Jesus' point becomes very clear. The goal and purpose of a vine is to bear fruit. Now, I'm going to do a little biology lesson. And I know it's the summer holidays and you shouldn't have to be taught anything about biology at all. But just bear with me because it's important and it's key to the point that Jesus is making. What a plant needs to grow is it needs to be in soil and then have a source of light and a source of water. When it's got some light and some water, it does this little thing called photosynthesis, which produces energy. Okay, that's it. That's the lesson. But what does it do when it's got this energy? It applies that energy into making fruit. The seed of the plant is in the fruit, and so to grow and spread and make more plants, it needs to produce as much fruit as possible. And this is the analogy that Jesus is giving us here in John 15. Hopefully you haven't closed your Bibles or booklets, but if you have, open them back up now. Look down with me at verse 5 of our passage. "I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus says that he is the vine. His goal is to produce fruit. But he doesn't do it alone. He says that anyone who has believed in him, anyone who has received life in him, anyone who is one of his followers is now joined to him as a branch. That means that our goal too, as part of the vine, is to produce fruit. But what is this fruit? It's not grapes. Let's look at verse 8 together. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The fruit that the disciples of Jesus will produce is to increasingly look more and more like him, so that when people see them, they will say, wow, isn't God good? Our goal is to reflect Jesus to the world, so that they will want to know him too. That is Jesus' aim as he comes to this earth, to bring glory to his Father. And it is what those who love and follow him will aim for too. When you join a new sports club or team, you might get a new kit. And as you put it on, you represent the club you're now playing for. You want to act and speak in a way that lives up to your club's reputation. And likewise, now you are in Jesus, you should want to show it. As you grow more like him, it should shine ever more brightly out of you. Now, how do we do it? It seems a pretty hard task to grow more like Jesus, who is perfect in every way. You might think the answer is to have some super spiritual experience. Or you might guess that to grow more like him, you need to be really good and tick lots of boxes like going to church or wearing the right things. But Jesus' growth strategy is surprising. Now, when we read the Bible, we need to pick up on some of the things that the author is doing to grab our attention. One of those things is repetition. We saw the other night in John chapter 10 that John does a bit of repetition. As Jesus says in that passage, he will lay down his life 4 times. Well, I see your 4 times, John 10, and I raise you. Okay, if you've got a pen, look down at your passage now and underline all the times in there that you see it says, remain in me or remain in the vine. You got it? I counted 9. 9 times that John says, remain in me. He's really trying to drill home the point. To grow like Jesus, we must remain in Jesus. Let's read verse 4. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus is saying that the way to keep going as a Christian, as one of his followers, is the same way that you became one of his followers, by believing in him and coming to him time and time again. Without him, we cannot grow. We won't bear fruit. We need to keep looking to who he is and what he's like and what he's done. And we do that by coming back to his words day by day. That book you're holding in your hands. Maybe this week is the first time you've really looked at the Bible. Let me tell you, these words are words of eternal life. They are words that will sustain you through all of life. They don't get old. They don't need a refresh. These words are the breath of Jesus speaking life into us. So to remain in him, we need to keep coming to his words. There are so many ways that you can do that. Firstly, and most simply, as you go home today, you can take your John's Gospel with you and you can read it. Read it and hear Jesus himself say to you the things that we've heard him say to us over this week. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Just enjoy hearing him speaking words of life to you. You can also listen to his voice, though, in the rest of the Bible. There are 65 other books that all together tell the story of God's great love for his people and how he sent his son to bring us into full and everlasting life. As the story unfolds, we see the great lengths that Jesus has gone to reach his goal of winning people back to himself and giving them life. And as branches together, one of the best ways that you can remain in Jesus is to hear his word as you gather with other followers of Jesus. Churches all over the country do this week by week, sometimes meeting in small groups or in youth groups throughout the week as well, to help each other remain in Jesus. If you haven't got a church nearby you know of, why not ask your team leader, where could I go to meet other Christians, other people trying to remain in Jesus? That might sound like John is labouring the point. And then I'm really labouring the point by labouring his laboured point. But your team leaders and your coaches will tell you, this is the Christian life. We don't move on from this. We don't move up to the next level. These words of Jesus are for all of us. Remain in me. And that is why all week we have spent time looking at Jesus' words in John's Gospel. And when you go home, you face a disappointing season with your club or team. Remain in Jesus, the bread of life who satisfies all our needs. When your teammates or school friends encourage you to get involved in some dark or evil practices or trends, remain in Jesus, the light of the world who banishes all darkness. When you're scrolling on social media and you just don't know which voice to listen to, remain in Jesus, the good shepherd, who knows you and has laid down his life for you. When someone you are close to is ill or dies, remain in Jesus, the resurrection and the life, who gives hope beyond death. When all around you there is gossip, bad speech, and people putting others down, remain in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, who speaks words of only truth and leads you to the Father. It will be hard. It will be tempting to find an easier path. You might find yourself wanting to give up. But this is the way to fruitfulness. If you have trusted in Jesus and received life by coming to him, your goal now is to produce fruit. That is what will shape everything you do, what you say, what you think. But you won't be able to keep going on your own. You must remain in Jesus. Keep coming to him. Keep listening to him. Keep trusting him. If you do, the end result he has promised is to share in his joy as we see the fruit of many more coming to experience life to the full in him. Let's just look at these wonderful verses that end our passage. Let me read from verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. If you're not yet sure about Jesus and haven't trusted him, let me encourage you to keep looking, to keep asking questions of him. Keep being open to what he is saying in the Bible. The words he speaks are words of eternal life. So don't just put your John's Gospel aside when you get home. Read it. And if you're not sure who you can ask your questions to when you go home, ask your team leaders before you go. They'll be able to point you in the right direction. But as I finish, let me remind you of John's words right at the end of his gospel. What was John's goal? He wrote, so that we might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, we might have life, life to the full in him.